Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, broadcasting to you live from Roberta's Pizza in bucolic Bushwick, Brooklyn. I don't know what it is about today. The weather is absolutely gorgeous, and Roberta's is packed with people. And I wonder why they aren't at jobs. They can't all be food writers with radio shows. I don't understand. This is episode 34 as we close in on Memorial Day weekend, the official start of summer in my book. My husband and I disagree on this because he grew up in Rochester, where summer doesn't really get rolling until late August after the snow melts. But where I grew up, in the lovely hamlet of Hampton Bays, summer starts this weekend. And it's a very exciting, energized time out in the Hamptons. And that brings me to today's guests. Coming up in July, an event called Grill Hampton, and representing the battling forces of New York City on the line with me is Elizabeth Carmel, chef owner of Hill Country Barbecue. And correct me if I'm wrong, but defending champion David Hirsch of Rumba in my hometown of Hampton Bays. Welcome, chefs.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great to be on.
I'm so glad to have you both here. So, David, is that true? Or you are the defending champion?
Yep, that's right. Last year we did win with our Dominican ribs.
So give us a little, what's the background of this event? What's the whole story for people who've never heard of Dan's Papers before? A publication I grew up reading. But give us, David, if you would, a little background.
You know, it's an event out there in the summer where all the chefs for the Grill Hamptons, where a couple chefs, I believe eight from New York and eight from the Hamptons, come together and they cook off, and it has to be a grilled item served with a side dish, and winner takes all. And it's a really fun event. It's for a really good cause, and it's just a really fun time. I believe it's the night before they do the Taste of Two Forks, and a whole fun weekend of eating and drinking, and you know, kind of a great way to spend the day in the Hamptons.
What is not to like about that? And Elizabeth, you were the judge's choice winner last year, right?
I was. That's right.
And tell me about what your dish was.
Okay, so I made a smoked and charred beef tenderloin, and I served it with a Mexican street corn salad, and the corn came from the Hamptons.
That sounds delicious as well. So I understand that a big part of this event, the buildup, is that there's a lot of smack talk going on between the rivals in New York City and the Hamptons. So I'm wondering if each of you could give us, give the listeners your sort of pitch on why you're the better region. David, I'll let you go first.
Oh, well, I don't know about too much smack talk. I look at it as a lot of great variety, because there's a lot of different chefs. There's 16 chefs from all over, and eight from New York and eight from the Hamptons. They come together. It makes for a really fun event. Every single booth you're going to go to, you're going to taste something different. I think that's what's really exciting about this event. And I know that we're out in the Hamptons, where it's summertime and you're on the grill. And our restaurants, Rumba and Cowfish in Hampton Bays, we specialize in grilling items. And I think that's why I think we're going to take it for 2 years in a row.
Well, I don't know about that. But what I do know is that you've got the two chefs who don't believe in smack talk. And that's because, guess what? Our food speaks for itself. We don't need to smack talk.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that idea. I think that when you get to be sort of at a tasting event like this, it's much more fun for everyone, I think, if we are all on the, we are all on the side of pleasing the guests and pleasing the people who have bought their tickets to be at the event. So I'm sort of in the middle because I have experience with both working in restaurants in the Hamptons. I cut my teeth at Oakland's working as a bus kid when I was like 14 until I don't remember. I worked there for a couple of summers, and then I moved to the city, and I've worked on the line in the New York City, a couple of restaurants here. And so I feel like I have a balance between both of you, so I won't encourage anybody to smack talk because I think they're both excellent regions to be cooking from.
Right. I feel the same way, and I think David, it sounds like he feels the same way too.
And yeah, so absolutely. What leading up to that? Well, actually, let me ask you first, what is this benefit? Where does the money go when they are purchasing a ticket? They get all of the food and drink and the celebrity chefs that are going to be there. Plus, it's a benefit, right?
That is correct. That is correct. So, David, since you're from there, do you want to talk about who it benefits? Because it benefits different charities in the Hamptons.
No, it does benefit a lot of different charities. And, I believe Dan's paper, who's representing this, but, he's also affiliated with many different events and charities out there. And I believe this one goes to an organization that helps out other non-for-profit organizations is where this thing benefits, which is it's a really good cause. It's fun. You're there not only enjoying great food, but also you know that you're there and you're making somebody else's life better as well.
That's right. So if people want to actually specifically go to the organization, it's called All for the East End, and the website is just the initials, so AFTEE.org.
And I'm making a note of that. I'll be sure to put a link up on the Sharp and Hot and the Heritage Radio website so that people can go and see. So, David, why don't you give me a little bit of your life story? How did you become a chef? What's your background? Did you grow up cooking, or is it something you came to later in life?
You know, my background, I always worked in restaurants, started as a dishwasher, and went out to school for it as well, and it's always been a passion.
Did you grow up in the Hamptons?
No, I grew up actually in South Florida.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, grew up in South Florida, and I always knew that I wanted to. It's always my dream was to open up my own place. And, after working at several different restaurants all around the United States, my wife and I decided we were going to open up our own restaurant. So we moved out to the Hamptons, where she's from, and we found an amazing little spot in Hampton Bays. It's not off the... it's off of Canoe Place Road. It's not on the main road. Nobody thought that we would do well there. We just, my philosophy with food is just use great ingredients, keep it simple, just serve a great product, don't overcharge, just have a great fun drink list, have a really fun service, and that's kind of what we accomplished. And now out in the Hamptons, we're a very popular place. Everybody that out east that knows us is the place to go to for good food. We have outdoor bars. Both of our restaurants are in the Hamptons, in Hampton Bays on the water. We have a little ferry boat that goes back and forth between the restaurants on most days. It's great for kids, families, after the beach for a nice romantic dinner. It's kind of what the Hamptons are in the summer. It's kind of what we try to sum up in our two restaurants. And that's kind of like the background, just always was in it. And now I'm kind of living the dream is what they said.
You're living the dream. I didn't know you had a boat that goes between your two restaurants. That sounds amazing.
It's fun. It's a really fun way. You go to one place, you jump on a little ferry boat, you go to the other, you listen to them live music, you go just bouncing. It's fun. Like Disney World out there for a little bit.
Are you guys open year-round?
We are open year-round, yep.
You can go ice fishing in the wintertime.
It's nice, actually. Outside of the Cowfish in Hampton Bays, during the wintertime, there's all these seals that are just swimming around, and they jump up on the floating docks, and they just lay there. It's a really it's a neat environment. There's not that many people that come out, but it's a really fun time.
I encourage people every chance I get when it comes out that that's where I grew up. I encourage people to go sometime between Columbus Day and like April 1st. You get like we go to wineries and we're the only people in the winery. You get full attention of everybody. Restaurants are, it's locals who are there eating. It's just a much more mellow environment. That said, I love the summer in the Hamptons too. So I'm a big fan.
Oh, nice.
And Elizabeth, tell us, how did you are the owner of Hill Country Barbecue. What's your life story?
Okay, so here's my life story. I grew up, in a nutshell, here's my life story, right? I grew up in North Carolina, and So I was raised on barbecue, and in North Carolina, it's pulled pork. It's a vinegar sauce. It's very, very, very simple. And along the way, I went to work for Weber Grills, Weber Stephen Products Company, and I fell in love with outdoor cooking. At the same time, I had moved away from North Carolina, and I realized that if I was going to have barbecue more than once or twice a year when I went home, I was going to have to teach myself how to make it. And I did. And believe it or not, the first time I made it, I just made it from taste memory, and it's almost identical to the recipe that I make today many years later for North Carolina-style pulled pork. And then I got interested in the barbecue circuit. And the barbecue circuit is where, you know, people professionally or by hobby get together and compete for lots of money and lots of trophies. You know, who has the best ribs, who has the best pulled pork, the best brisket, et cetera, et cetera. And I became so enthralled with the barbecue circuit that I started going all around the country learning everything I could about all the different regions of barbecue. And, you know, North Carolina is my emotional touch point. That's, you know, what I grew up with. But Texas barbecue is probably my favorite because they cook lots of different kinds of meat. It's beef based, but it's but they also do chicken and pork as well. And in Texas, everything's bigger. So besides the meat, you know, there's a huge music component to the barbecue culture, and that's the big thing about barbecue. It's much more than just a food. It's a whole lifestyle and a whole culture. And so, you know, I fell in love with barbecue hook, line, and sinker, and, you know, ended up making that my, you know, my career.
Can I ask you what your capacity was at Weber? What were you doing for them?
I did all of their culinary initiatives, their marketing, and their public relations. So they were actually my client, but we worked so closely together that it was like I worked at Weber.
And did you have a restaurant before that, or were you sort of on the front of house or sort of like marketing PR side, and then you were like, wait a minute, I want to be in the kitchen?
Well, you know what, I always developed all of the recipes and did you know, special grill trainings for key influencers for them, and then I helped them start. They always had a restaurant, and then they decided they were going to expand it and update it and sort of change it a little bit, and I helped them do that. But I had never really worked full-time in a restaurant until 10 years ago when I met Mark Glosserman, who had this idea of bringing Texas barbecue to New York City. And it's hard to believe now, but at that time, nobody had brought Texas barbecue to New York. And I was very familiar with it and already was friends with the family who run Kreitz Market, the Schmidts. And so I said, let's do it. And so it took us a couple of years to find a space and to open our first restaurant, which is in the Flatiron District, 30 West 26th Street. And then 4 months ago, we just opened a Hill Country Barbecue Market in Brooklyn.
That's very exciting for our Brooklyn listeners. Where in Brooklyn?
It is, it's right downtown. It's 345 Adams. That's Adams and Pearl, right next to Willoughby Plaza. And the coolest thing about it is it's an old municipal building. And so it was used by the courts of Brooklyn, and it was vacant for a very long time. And they were looking for a tenant who would respect sort of the heritage of the building. And so we've gone in there and, you know, made as few changes as possible to turn it into a restaurant. So it's just a gorgeous building. You know, the ceilings are like 250 feet high.
That sounds amazing. We have to take a break, and that's a good place for us to stop because I have a barbecue and buildings connection when we come back after this.
Oh, wonderful.
Nice. Hello?
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson. You are listening to Sharp and Hot on Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Before the break, we were talking about restaurants, and Elizabeth said that they are in an interesting space. My husband would quit his job tomorrow if someone said, here's some money, open a barbecue restaurant. I mean, both of us love barbecue. He's really the one sort of driving the team on this. His sister lives in Alabama, and so he's become very well acquainted with Southern barbecue. But there's a turnaround in our home, in the town where we live now, in Parsippany, New Jersey, that has a church that's for sale. And it's been for sale forever. And it's this beautiful Russian, sort of Russian-Ukrainian church. Oh, I don't know if I can say that anymore. I guess it's one or the other. It's either Russian or Ukrainian, but it has these, it's this big vaulted ceiling, and it has the like onion shaped turrets at the top, and it's surrounded by evergreen trees. And we've started calling it Holy Smoke because we want to buy it someday and turn it into a barbecue restaurant. And the cool thing is that the church isn't going to sell it to anyone who's going to tear down the building because it's a not-for-profit. They don't have to pay tax or whatever their situation is. They can just let it sit there and not let it become a Dunkin' Donuts, you know, gas station drive-through like there is on every other corner in New Jersey.
Right. Well, that was exactly the same situation with this building, and it sounds amazing. I think you guys should do it. If he wants to come in and, you know, and stage at Hill Country, he's more than welcome.
I think he might be listening to this right now. He might be jumping up and down. He's a garden designer, and so he does a lot of work outside. So I'm imagining him jumping up and down on some client's lawn right now.
Right. But I think Holy Smokes sounds like a destination.
Yeah, it really would be so much fun to do. Let me ask both of you, David. I'll ask you to answer this question first. For people who think, I really want to open a restaurant, I love to cook. Personally, I'm a trained chef and I've worked in restaurants. I do catering, so I understand food cost management. What's the reality like in owning a restaurant? Pop the bubble a little bit for people who think that it's all glamorous and just eating delicious food all the time.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I think if you have a passion for cooking and you have the at the end of the day, it's still a business. So you got to be able to have business sense. But your product is food and experience and people. And if you have a good product and you're cooking for your friends and they're all telling you it's the best they've ever had and you have some good signature dishes and you have the business sense, you know, and you find a great location. I mean, what you mentioned with the Holy Smoke, that has it all. That has the name. That has a great concept. It seems like it has the density there, and I think that it's just taking that step. You know, a lot of people say they want to and they will someday. And, I say live your life like, when you're old and you're sitting on your rocking chair, you want to make sure you look back at life and you took those chances in life and you had fun and you lived it to the fullest. And I'd say, for some advice I would give you, I would say, go for it. And that sounds like a
find
great
some investors. Find some investors is the advice that I need.
You find some people, usually the friends and the family are always the ones that kind of help out on the first one. And, I say start small. You know, you don't need to, let your food and your product stand for yourself. You can always buy nicer chairs and buy nicer plates. And, a lot of people spend a lot of money up front on making sure the place is picture perfect. But at the end of the day, it's people want good food. They want to be waited on and made to feel special when they're in your restaurant, and that's really what matters. All that other stuff you can add on over time. And I say this, so that's like maybe the bubble, maybe start small and then finish big would be some word of advice.
One of the things that you said, and Elizabeth, you can verify if this is true for you also. When one of the exercises that I like to do with people is I ask them, what's your favorite restaurant? And they 99.9% of people describe everything but the food, or they get to food like fourth or fifth on the list, but they'll say, oh, it was so comfortable and the music was great and it was this and it was that. And then eventually they get to, oh, and the food was really good. But you're absolutely right, David. You're selling this whole other experience that has, you have to serve good food, but it's almost like everything else is so much more important a little bit, at least in, you know, the first contact with people.
Well, the good news about barbecue is the most perfect barbecue joint is imperfect, right? So you don't have to have matching chairs. You don't have to spend a lot of money on the decor because it's more comfortable for people if it's, you know, not so upscale. But you do have to spend a lot of time and give the barbecue a lot of love. So I think in a barbecue restaurant, maybe it's the reverse of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I could definitely see that.
Because I think, you know, people are very, I mean, the great thing about barbecue is everyone has an opinion and everybody loves it. And that's exactly the bad thing about barbecue.
Everyone's an expert.
Right.
I feel the same way about things like any simple food, any food that's inherently simple, like clams. Everybody's got a recipe for how to cook clams the right way. Or grilling fish. Everybody's got the right way. And I'm totally guilty of it, too. But yeah, I mean, I think in terms of opening any restaurant, David, you said your wife is from the Hamptons. How did you come to settle on Canoe Place Road? You have the bay right there so people can pull their boats up. But like, was there something about that building in particular that you were like, this is the one?
You know, it was funny because when I went out to, you know, I was living in New Orleans at the time. I had 2 days off of work, and I wanted to come up, and I had a meeting to go see another spot in Hampton Bays, and flew all the way out, and when I got there, the realtor never showed up for the appointment, and so I went to the real estate office right next door and said, you know, told him my story, said, do you guys know any restaurants in the area that are available? And she said, I do know this one, and we, you know, jumped in the car, drove down the road, and it was this little teeny spot on the water, and right away, it just... you know, it's kind of like seeing the one. You know, we'd it was a great little spot. It fit the concept that I wanted to do. You know, with the rum bar and the island getaway feel, and just kind of what people want to feel like when they're out on a summer vacation or island getaway. And I just it had that spot right on the water. It's gorgeous blue water on the Shinnecock Canal, and that's it. I knew it was pretty exciting.
It was meant to be that other person flaked out.
It was. It was. And, you know, and then 2 years later, the other spot right down the road came available. And I think that Cowfish is, I don't know if you've been there yet. I remember it's the old Indian Cove restaurant. But I think it probably sits on the most beautiful piece of property in the Hamptons. It's
yeah.
It's on that peninsula out there. It's beautifully landscaped. We have a giant outdoor bar now. Little pirate ship for kids to play on. It's a really fun little spot out there. Elizabeth, when you're out in the Hamptons,
me, David. I'm like salivating. I'm thinking, you know, the next time I come out there, usually when I go to the Hamptons, I go with friends and we cook, you know, at home the entire time and I never go out to eat. But, boy, the next time I go, I'm coming to your place.
Oh, please. I want to have you as my guest. We'll eat dinner. We'll walk around. I'll show you the places. It'd be fun.
I mean, the idea that you can take a ferry from one to the other, that has me sold regardless of anything else.
So,
it's fun.
In a couple of weeks, you guys are going to be out there together. So, David, who are some of the other chefs that are participating from the Hamptons? In the Grill Hampton event, sorry. Uh-oh, did we lose David?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can tell you some of the teams if you want.
Sure.
David knows all these guys from the Hamptons. I haven't met all of them yet, but Peter Ambrose from Peter Ambrose Events is doing it. The Old Stove Pub is doing it. Amano is doing it. Delmonico's, obviously David. Mm-hmm. He is leading the charge. The Palm, East Hampton, and Smokin' Wolf.
And who's coming from New York City?
New York City, we've got Harold Moore from Commerce, Gabe Thompson, he's from Del Anima and Lapico and Lartusi. Paul from Le Rivage, he was there last year too. He's a great guy. Ben Zwecker from T-Bar, Mike Prince from Market Table, and Michael DeFonso from PJ Clark's.
This sounds like such an amazing, delicious event. I'm going to try really hard to get there myself. I have a toddler, and so I'm not sure what his patience level is going to be at a barbecue tasting. But let me ask you, is there any anything you want to clarify for people in terms of it being called Grill Hampton? Everything, it has to be grilled, or is it a barbecue? Which is it?
That's very good, because there is a distinction.
Right.
It is all grilled, but because I have a barbecue restaurant, what I do is I put a little layer of smoke on the meat first, and then I grill it. But everybody does grilled food.
And I guess you guys don't want to tell each other what you're planning on making, right?
I don't think that would be prudent.
You have both been wonderful, Elizabeth Carmel of Hill Country Barbecue and David from Roomba in Hampton Bays. The event is Grill Hampton. The website is danstasteofsummer.com. Dan's is Dan's Paper out in the East End. Guests will enjoy great grilled food, beer, specialty cocktails, live music by the Nancy Atlas Project, and then the guests themselves get to be part of the action as they pick their favorite their favorite dish of the night. And I am going to try my darndest to be there. It is in Bridgehampton. Both of you are wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on Sharp and Hot with me. If you are ever in Bushwick, I would love to have you at the studio and we can have a pizza from Roberta's. It's very delicious here as well.
Yes, yes. And please, both of you, come to Hill Country in Brooklyn or Hill Country in New York. Actually, everybody come, but you guys, I hope to see you and host you at Hill Country.
If my husband was listening when you offered him a stage, he's probably halfway there by now.
Okay. All right. That
thank
would be
you.
Great.
Thank
That'd
you. Thank you both. You're wonderful.
Guys. Have a good day.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Next week on Sharp and Hot, author Mary Roach is going to talk about her book called Gulp. If you haven't gotten a copy yet, I highly recommend picking it up. She's one of my very favorite writers. She makes science accessible to everyone, and this book is specifically about it's called Travels in the Alimentary Canal. So everything having to do with your food between when it goes into your mouth and when it comes back out again. And it is fascinating and funny and irreverent and gross, just as I expect her voice to handle that subject. And I am Chef Emily Peterson. You are listening to Heritage Radio Network. You can find me on Twitter at Chef Emily P. You can go to sharpandhot.com or facebook.com/sharpandhot. Tickets for Grill Hampton are available on danstasteofsummer.com. And if you are going, send me a tweet and I will meet up with you and we will cheers over a beer in July. Until next week, everybody, keep playing with fire and knives.
Sharp. With Chef Family. Sharp and Hot with Chef Family.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.